Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us on the line, Trey Bervant, Louisiana Film and Entertainment Association. He performed in Get Out in 2017 and CIS New Orleans in 2014. We know about how Hollywood South has been an important part of our microeconomy down here in the southeastern end of Louisiana. There's talk about a possible Hollywood writers' strike that rumor's starting to spread. So we wanted to go straight to the folks that would know. Trey Bervant, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, thanks for having me.
So, Trey, what are you hearing?
Well, I think it's, you know, the unions. We have an industry that is unionized mostly with the actors, Screen Actors Guild. I myself am in it, the writers and the directors, and, of course, all the workers on the set are unionized. And every 3 years, right, these contracts come up for renewal. The Writers Guild, Screen Actors Guild, and the Directors Guild all come up every 3 years at the same time. So, you know, the Writers Guild contract expires first. And I think the biggest thing you need to know, firstly, is how writers make their money. They either write their own script and they sell it and it gets produced. They get hired to write a script or a TV show. It gets produced. And then when things get produced, they are vested in the life of that show. So in the form of residuals, kind of the downstream mailbox money way to make money. And if you remember, before streamers, a television show would go into syndication, right? A studio would make the show, then they would sell off and license that to other networks and other third parties and earn a fee. And that fee was then distributed amongst all the folks that were invested in it, the producers, the writers, the actors, et cetera, et cetera. Well, so when you have streaming come on and there was a case, so Netflix basically has their own streaming, makes their own content, puts it on their own platform. So there's no real opportunity if your show is a big hit to earn additional revenues because Netflix isn't selling that to syndication, right? Their revenue is based on subscriptions. So there's a big disparity now that the writer's saying, hey, look, we get you're trying to get us on upfront fees, but it's that downstream residual life, long-term life of the product that I made that we really need to talk about. And that's kind of what the central crux is of the conversations.
And the Netflix productions, are a lot of these writers actually hired, or they bring concepts and scripts?
Both. Yeah, it's both. So you can go and pitch your concept to Netflix. They decide to buy it and produce it. Great. Netflix hires you to develop something, it's the same concept. The difference is how it gets distributed and how during distribution there are many opportunities for writers to make money when it gets sold or gets watched. I mean, you know, you fly domestic airlines, you get in the seat and you see that little screen there and you can just dial through. Well, those every time, you know, they sell it to airlines, there's money that goes downstream to actors, writers, directors, et cetera.
Right. The revenue stream, though, with the streaming services, though, is different, right? Is formulated differently.
It is. I think, you know, the last time there was a strike was, I think, 2003, and it's when this whole new form called digital media, what they were calling it. Like, what's digital media? We don't know what it is. And now, here we are, we know what digital media is. We know what streaming is. We know how it gets monetized. And I think they're just looking to have a better structure in the downstream participation in the content that they make, because it's their intellectual property that is getting purchased, just like an actor's intellectual property is their visage, their person.
So is that the same issue? Does that same issue exist for actors?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, SAG will be going and negotiating probably later in, I think, April they might start, or May they start their negotiations. I know that they'll be dealing with a lot of the same thing, residuals, you know, work times, raising rates to match, the regular cost of living increases, and those types of things. I'm not sure exactly what SAG is looking to go to the table with at this moment, but yeah, they have a lot of the same issues.
How does this work out with the balance of interest? I mean, you know, a lot of the streaming services, some are actually struggling. Some are increasing the fees for the streaming service, some as high as 100% increases for these things. And the fallout is the subscriber rate for many are on the downside.
Yeah, I know. I think there's still, the market still has to figure out, I mean, the market of the studios and the producers, and of how to strike that balance again without, right, theatrical exhibition as the driver of revenues anymore. They're basing it off of subscriptions. And I don't quite think that, you know, that's panned out as good as they've wanted it to. I know there's been a lot of restructuring at some of the majors this past fall and going into the spring. Disney had a big shakeup, bringing back Bob Iger to the mix to kind of level, to right the ship again. So you're absolutely right. And I don't have an answer of where it's going to go, but you're spot on saying that there's a big thing to figure out about how are they going to continue to create good content, which any show can cost upwards to $30 to $80 million to make, and how you recoup that investment.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you that I predominantly watch stuff now on the streaming services. It's rare that I go watch just broadcast TV any longer. I spent a lot of time watching BBC productions on digital services.
Yeah. Oh, that's, the BBC rolls a lot in our household too. My wife loves a good BBC murder mystery.
Yeah, I mean, it's not somebody getting shot every 30 seconds. It's more of a development of a story, and intrigue, and that's what I enjoy about it, especially coming from the police world. The other stuff drives me crazy, but the pattern and the habits of the audience are changing, but I'm not happy about the price structure either, because when I start looking at BritBox and this and that and getting all of these subscriptions, thinking that I was going to be saving some money maybe if I reduced what my digital package was for Cox, it's not working out so good.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, right? I mean, yeah. Everything just kind of circles back to the same way. I mean, no matter how you slice it, the way that film and television shows make money is through, theatrical exhibition and selling ads and selling their product to other people who want to license their product. It's a real conundrum, man. And yeah, I mean, maybe what we should do is, Norm, you and I should start a company that aggregates all of the streamers and sells it in a package, a streaming package, kind of like a cable package.
Yeah, I think Apple's probably going to be the first one to market on that.
They're a very healthy company. They're a very healthy company.
Yeah, yeah. Tough competitor. Trey, thank you so much. We'll be checking in with you as this pans out, because this could end up being a big battle, right?
It could be. And look, we're feeling the effects of it. The entire world is feeling, the entire United States is feeling the effects of it. There's a lot of production is pressing pause. A lot of studios don't want to, enter into production and know that their writers are going to go down. So we're seeing a pause in production, which, affects the jobs and families here.
Absolutely.
In Louisiana. And we're hoping that there's a quick resolution. And we know that we might experience another big boom of production when the strike gets resolved, because they're going to be anxious to start making content again.
Thank you so much for joining us and backfilling on this issue. Trey Bervant, Louisiana Film and Entertainment Association. Trey, thank you. Have a great week.
You too, man.
We'll be right back, folks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.